pay-per-view. Before I head out the door, hope you enjoyed hanging out with me on a Thursday. I hope you enjoyed your Bombers tickets. We've given away family four packs to Thirsty Thursday. Talked a whole lot of SEC football with Christopher Smith of Saturday Down South. You know, I mentioned the programming note that Louis Belina returns to the Louis Belina Show on Fridays 1 week from tomorrow. We're really shifting. You know, we're going to have Braden Gall on Friday, Cedric Golden on Fridays. Mitch Light stays Wednesdays at noon. Dave Bart II, who joins us from time to time, well, Dave Bart II is going to be with us every single Thursday. And if you have not read his SEC preview, and if you don't check out his work at collegefootballmatrix.com, you're missing something in your prep, in your just interest in what you need to know. Dave Bart II is one of the best out there. collegefootballmatrix.com. He's going to be every Thursday. And, you know, when the Kevin Sumlin begins up his Aggie football media days, every Tuesday at noon, live. You'll hear Coach Sumlin here on Sports Radio Live 50 in the Zone, 102.7 FM. Football, 36 days and hours counting till A&M Arizona State. I'm out. I'll talk to you Monday. Peace.
Listen to your favorite shows with Gabe, Louie, Aubrey, and Chip weekdays on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. This is KZNE, KNDE HD3, and KNDE HD4, K274CM, College Station Bryan.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Play. I'm Rich Ackerman. This report is brought to you by Subway. Fall in love with the new guacamole at Subway, perfectly made from Hass avocados with just a hint of jalapeno. Come in and see how it turns up the flavor to all of your favorite Subway sandwiches. Subway, eat fresh. The trade deadline is tomorrow, and another blockbuster today. The Blue Jays are at it again, acquiring five-time All-Star and former Cy Young Award winner David Price from the Tigers for a package that includes prospect Daniel Norris. The Yankees missed adding Price and now have more pitching issues as Michael Pineda has been scratched from tonight's start in Texas with a forearm injury. The Cardinals acquired Brandon Moss from the Indians in exchange for minor league lefty Rob Kaminsky, and the three-way deal between the Dodgers, Marlins, and Braves is done. L.A. gets some pitching help, acquiring Matt Latos and Alex Wood, as well as slugger Michael Morse. The Braves and Marlins get prospects. A couple of games this afternoon, one in the books. The Nationals blank the Marlins 1-0. Max Scherzer gets his 11th win, giving up just three hits in seven innings. And Ryan Zimmerman's sixth home run of the year was the difference in this one. Jonathan Papelbon got the save in relief. Right now at Citi Field, they are one out away from completion. The Mets with a 7-5 lead over the Padres when the rains came and held up play. So, again, play being held up right now with two outs in the top of the ninth. Ohio State suspended defensive end Joey Bosa and three wide receivers for the season opener at Virginia Tech. The four players were disciplined for violating athletic department policy. I'm Rich Ackerman.
The baseball trading deadline is tomorrow, and we've got you covered. Expect it here, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Ziner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RP Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Catholic Family Fraternal of Texas is holding its 17th annual community fundraiser garage sale for charities on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the St. Joseph Elementary School gym. Contact Liz at 224-2844. Each Tuesday morning through August 25th, the Texas A&M physicians are providing a free diabetes self-management class from 9 to 11. For more information or to sign up for these classes, call 436-0400. The Brazos Valley chapter of the American Red Cross is holding a community-wide blood drive on Tuesday from noon to 6 at their office on Boonville Road. Today, sunny and 99, heat index to 102. Tonight, 20% chance of showers, partly cloudy, and 77. Each Wednesday, it's the Zone Shootout at the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Two-person nine-hole scramble tournament with prizes for net, gross, and skins. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Can't find the perfect gift for that special guy? Do you need help figuring out why your check engine light is on, or even just a gift for yourself? Look no further than your local Parts Plus store. This month's sales event features great deals on tools, shop equipment, and accessories. And if you still can't decide on a gift for that special guy, Parts Plus offers gift certificates for any amount. Go by your hometown auto parts store, Parts Plus, and let their friendly and knowledgeable staff help you out and leave you with a smile on your face.
Texas drivers trust Germania. Did you know that 9 out of 10 Germania auto policyholders stay with Germania year after year? Germania has competitive rates, discount options, and exceptional claim service 24/7. So if you don't have your auto insured by Germania, give them a call today or visit germaniainsurance.com and find out why Germania is the insurance Texans trust.
Trust Germania.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
When we started Intercon in early 1991, we were well aware that we would be competing with some companies that use unscrupulous techniques to make a quick sale, such as bait and switch, or 40% off if you commit today, or misleading, incomplete quotes. Intercon's practice is to be completely honest and encourage prospective customers to talk to our former customers. We've encouraged customers to get multiple quotes. We are confident and proud of our value proposition for windows, glass, and solar screens. We never want anyone to rush into a decision they will regret in the future. Just remember, warranties are only as good as the people who provide them and are servicing the area when situations arise. This is our home and only marketplace, and we will protect our home turf. You've probably heard the saying, the buck stop here, and that is with me, Brad Beard, president and co-owner of Intercon LLC.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Listen to the Astros, the Rangers, the Texans, and of course, the Fightin' Texas Aggies. Texas Aggies. Your favorite teams play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great information, lots of cool shows coming in, so be sure to check that out for all the info on tickets and everything. That's mscopus.org. You can call us 693-1150, or you can text us 229-1939. Kroom, we got a lot we're going to talk about, but I feel obligated to start the show. It is July 30th, and the Houston Astros are all alone in first place. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, they've done well. I'll give it to them. I'm not a big Astros fan, but they've held up well, and they're proving they're there for the long run with this last series.
Tonight, they go for the sweep of the Angels with Scott Kazmir on the mound. Making his Houston debut. You actually got to watch a little bit of the game last night, you said.
Yeah, well.
Well, it was on ESPN. I didn't even know it was on ESPN until until like the third inning. But then I'm true to my people at Root Sports. We have Julie on the show. I feel loyal to the Root Sports team. So I didn't watch it on ESPN. Plus, I don't need to hear anything about the Angels. So I only care about the Astros. So I watched it over there. But yeah, what'd you think?
Well, all I saw was the last inning, which wasn't a good one for Houston.
No, that was a little rough.
Although it was,
had we lost, it would have been your fault, is what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe. It didn't matter who won, but it was like I really wanted to see Trout get up there. It looked like he might pinch hit, and I was kind of hoping that would happen just for the drama of it all.
I love that Albert Pujols can't help himself.
But be a baby?
But make people hate him more in Houston. I mean,
he's just keeping his Cardinal spirit up.
By the way, I saw this last night. I couldn't believe it. Now, last night's home run in the ninth inning was Pujols' 550th home run. He's hit 49 of them against the Astros, yet that's not the most. There's another team he's hit even more against, Kroom.
Let me guess. Chicago.
The Cubs. You got it. But I was like, that seems impossible. I mean, he's, a tenth of his home runs have come against the Astros, but that's not. Oh, it, like I said, it was of course he hit a home run in the ninth inning. Like, he had to. Gregerson, a little shaky. But got the job done.
Got that last guy. Which,
got it.
That's what I was talking about, the drama. I was kind of hoping that Trout would
jump up there.
Yeah. Well, would have really been funny, because the announcer even mentioned, he goes, I wonder if they're going to put him in there with one strike. You know, even, you know, like, it's like, as soon as he's ready, as soon as he's got his batting glove on, they'll throw him in there, no matter the count to whoever was up.
But it was, again, another fun game for the Stros, some home run. I mean, it's the Astros. If they're going to win, they hit home runs.
Yeah, they hit home runs. like we mentioned earlier, they're not going to do it with your batting averages.
A tremendous play at second by Jose Altuve. Did you get to see the clip of that?
No,
I think it was like number one on the SportsCenter top 10. It was unreal. It was like a spinning, he fell down as he threw it, got the guy at first. Unbelievable play by Altuve. Correa, again, another solid game. That guy, I saw some tweets last night, you know, because it was on ESPN, so all the ESPN different accounts were weighing in on the stats and info and stuff like that, and they were talking about some people think Carlos Correa is already the best shortstop in the American League, and I was like, let's tap the brakes a little bit. He's only played, what, 50 games or almost 50 games, but...
Yeah, but you know what?
I mean, has been
people
good.
People could make an argument for that. I mean,
he
I'm
has been
think
good.
Of,
You don't even know.
Well, now Tulowitzki's in the American League.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So that happened last night. Again, Game 3, Astros going for the sweep tonight. Everyone get hype. This morning, though, the big news, Ohio State suspending 4 players for the season opener. Can we hear about all this?
They could afford to suspend 2 quarterbacks, though, couldn't they?
Well, none of them are quarterbacks.
But none of them are quarterbacks. Who's their opener against?
Virginia Tech.
Oh, well,
it's the Monday night. Yeah, it's the Monday night Virginia Tech.
That's not just a token, you know, like, oh, we're going to slap your wrist because you did something wrong.
All-American defensive end Joey Bosa, wide receivers Jalen Marshall, Dontre Wilson, and Corey Smith. I refuse to call anybody an H-back. You're a wide receiver. If they're not going to hand you the ball very often, maybe on a sweep, you're a wide receiver. So 3 receivers.
If they throw to you more than they hand to you.
All setting up Braxton Miller's run at the Heisman at wide receiver, because he's going to be out there getting work. Hope he's putting the routes in, because they're going to need him on the opening night out there at receiver. But that's the big news today. That came
When they were announced as the number one
team just a little bit after
poll,
the polls came out. We're going to talk about that next. We're going to talk about overrated, underrated, all that
one
kind
team
of
that's
stuff.
Overrated.
But the big news out there. Do you think this you taking Virginia Tech now, throwing your money on the Hokies?
No.
What? In Blacksburg on Monday night, Kroom, you don't believe in Beamer's boys?
Nope. Not anymore.
No, I don't either. Although I do think they are better than people think they are, though. Virginia Tech's not the same Virginia. The team they were horrible. Was it 2 years ago? They weren't good last year, but they were awful a couple years ago. They'll be better this year. I'm not saying they're going to be like top 10. I'm not saying they're going to beat Ohio State. But I do think they pose some challenges for the Buckeyes. I'll say that. I mean, they're something.
Well, I hope so. I mean, they're a good football team, so they better pose some problems.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't know.
They're
how
not
much...
the Virginia Tech that everyone.
Well, no.
They're not your dad's Virginia.
They're
Tech.
They're not Mike Vick's Virginia Tech. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see. But yeah, that was the news today. The 4 players suspended for the opener, and 2 of them, Bosa is obviously the big one, an All-American defensive end. But it is going to test the depth of the Buckeyes a little bit, which is something we don't really know where they are there on that front. I mean, because
they did pretty good with it last year when they got guys hurt, didn't they?
Well, at quarterback,
I
don't know. I don't know if the whole team had a lot of injuries or not. So. I guess we will. I guess we'll find out. I'll tell you what we got to do. We got a lot coming up on the show today, and Kroom, I'm excited about this one. I give out the. We're talking about the IFAF, the football championships, like the World Cup of football they were having in Ohio a couple weeks ago. Roger Sherman of SB Nation was covering that, and he's going to join us later on to talk about it. He had a really good article today. It wasn't really a long form. It was a longer piece though about. What it was like from the other teams, you know? Did they like it? How do they view American football? And it's a pretty fascinating read if you get a chance to check it out on SB Nation.
Are they healthy still? Huh? Are they healthy?
Yeah, they're fine. But he's going to join us a little bit later on to talk about that. And then we're going to debate, and I want y'all to weigh in on this, 229-1939, whether or not we think, will football will it ever catch on around the world? Not necessarily is it going to be the biggest sport anywhere else, but, for example, could it become what soccer is here? In other countries. So we'll kind of talk about that a little bit later on. We'll get y'all's thoughts. Hit us up, 229-1939. And then second hour, Kroon, we got our ear to the ground. And by that, I mean we have our Twitter feeds up on the MLB trade deadline. We're going to see what's going on there. And then also later on,
Hoping the Astros get somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think?
I don't know.
They made their move with Kessler.
No, what's the pitcher from the Padres, the young guy that everyone's talking about, Ross, is that it? Is he play for the Padres?
I don't know.
I could be combining a lot of different info right now, but he's the one they were talking about last night.
Okay.
And then everyone got a little bit excited because they pulled him out of the sixth inning even with the team way ahead. So they were like, uh-oh, what are they calling it, hug watch? Yeah. To see if they start hugging guys in the dugout.
Did you see the Mets player that was out there crying because he thought he was traded?
How bad was that?
That was something.
That was bad.
I've never seen that before.
Oh, that was tough.
All my years.
I mean, I felt bad for him. Apparently, he signed.
I felt bad for him. I felt bad for the coach having to explain it later.
And then, did he end up getting traded? Was he the one that got rescinded because of the Gomez trade?
He's the one that got rescinded because they weren't sure Gomez is as healthy as.
Yeah, so his trade actually ended up not going through, so he is still a Met. It was a weird deal last night. Anyway, all that coming up on the show. Hit us up, 229-1939. What do y'all want to talk about? What are your thoughts, your opinions? What do you want us to weigh in on? Let us know. We will do it again, 229.
Who's your number one team?
Yeah, your number one team. Coming up next, who's overrated? Who's underrated? Let's talk about it when we come back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle Sports Radio, 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Whether at work or play, your trucks and equipment take a beating every day. Make them last with Rhino Lining Protective Coatings. If you're investing in a new truck or just looking to add life to your existing truck, trailer, RV, and equipment, Rhino Linings is a proven solution. The new Rhino Extreme Coating offers superior resistance against chemical, rust, and corrosion, as well as durable impact resistance to withstand those heavy loads. If you want an industrial-strength truck bed liner, go extreme. Get yours today at Texas Custom Outfitters on Highway 6 in Navasota. Call for more info, 936-870-3009.
Okay, kids, time for bed.
Daddy, tell us a story.
Yeah, please.
All right. There once was a family out on a camping trip in a new Toyota Tundra Special Edition.
John, you're going to scare the kids.
Oh, come on, Mom.
Keep going, Daddy.
Well, as they entered a mysterious forest, they sensed something was with them in the tundra.
What?
The boogeyman?
Nope. The Bass Pro Shops camping package that was included.
That's not scary.
Oh, no? There was a tent, fishing rods, a tackle box, backpacks, and sleeping bags. All the camping gear they needed. But then, the father discovered the tundra wasn't theirs.
Dad. Fine. We'll go see the tundra tomorrow.
See, kids? That's how it's done.
Now get 0% APR financing for 60 months plus $1,500 special edition cash on a 2015 Tundra Special Edition. Plus a Bass Pro Shops camping package with every purchase. Toyota, let's go places. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and end 8/3/15.
We invite you to join us for the Junior League of Bryan College Station Stuff the Bus School Supply Drive, a community-wide collection of school supplies that benefits more than 16,000 children in our area. The event will take place Thursday, August 6th from 6:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Brazos Center and both HEB Tejas and HEB Tower Point locations between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. For more information on how you can help and a list of supplies most needed, visit jlbcs.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter.
You are a smart person. You know what side the butter goes on. You can't help but bark up the right tree. You even know who let the dogs out. So in your search for the perfect job, why aren't you using AggielandHelpWanted.com, where smart people like you know the easy way to find a local job? Millions of other smart people know they can upload their resume for free in just minutes. Plus, it's smart and mobile-friendly, just like that science guy. So, smart person, use that freakishly large noodle and find a job on AggielandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
On Sports Talk, Chip and Krista discuss Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert's marital problems.
Blake filed 2 weeks ago because he received certain information about Miranda and the other guy that elevated things in his head from rumor to fact. We're told Blake has been very upset the last few weeks and told her she had to get her animals off his ranch.
Sports Talk. We're committed every day to the facts on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Hit us up, 229-1939 is the text line. If you have any hot takes, your overrated teams, your underrated teams. Kroom, when the top 25 came out, I'm going to preface this whole conversation by saying it doesn't matter. We know it doesn't matter, and that we get it.
It's for radio shows like
right.
us.
Well, and it's to me, there's some value in seeing what the coaches
fans,
around the country
for fans.
Well, there's some value in seeing what the different coaches or SIDs or whatever around the country think of certain teams. You know, does their national profile match what we hear locally, you know, or vice versa, or teams that we don't hear a lot about, maybe teams think people think more of. The first school on this list that jumped out to me is LSU at 13. What in the world?
So you
is
got all
LSU?
The way to 13 before there was any real.
Yeah, the other, I mean, there's ones I'm like, whatever. But
there's others that jumped out to me first, but the LSU one is the most obvious.
They
on
are
the
most
on the whole chart.
Overrated team
what are they,
in
what
the
were
country.
They picked, what were they picked in the SEC
third
West? See, that's like I wouldn't pick them third in the SEC West either.
And I joked a little bit on Twitter earlier, and I actually got someone embedded my tweets in a story on my Bleacher Report. Barrett Salee did. But the West is a crapshoot. We all know that. LSU could be just as good as A&M, or they could be just as good as Arkansas. And that whole group of teams could finish anywhere from, I don't know, the top 10 to in the 20s somewhere. So the whole thing, again, we get it. But I just – when I look at LSU, when I look at Ole Miss – I see. I think Ole Miss is clearly better than LSU. For that matter, I think A&M is clearly better than LSU. I just don't see where it's going to come from.
I don't know if I'd go clearly better, but there, I would. Right now, I'd pick A&M over LSU.
Yeah, well, yeah. In my mind, I would have A&M on a neutral field.
Yeah, on a neutral field. I was going to say the game this year is at LSU, so that would
right. And that doesn't necessarily mean that A&M is going to beat LSU. There's matchups and momentum and injuries and all that stuff to play into it, but the. That was the first team that stuck out to me. Most overrated team, clearly LSU. Although, having said that...
Are you going to go number four?
Well, no. Arkansas is one... I kind of get it. I know they ended strong.
Arkansas is kind of like the fad team.
I know. I know.
This is my team that. This
and I feel
is
like I helped
happen.
Pump them up, and now I feel like I'm going to sound like a flip-flopper changing course here. It's not that I don't think they're going to be a lot better, but this was a 7-6 team a year ago that lost to Missouri, who wasn't anything special in the final week of the season. Yeah, they won the East, but they still lost to them. They get a lot of credit for plowing an LSU team that didn't have a quarterback and an Ole Miss team that came in highly rated but just had lost their mojo. I mean, they absolutely crushed both of those
and
teams.
And a Texas team that had
and
no
a
offense.
Horrible Texas team.
Yeah, that had no offense at all.
And we've talked about this. It's kind of funny the way that bowl games can change your perception of a team that sticks out so much. People think Arkansas, they clobbered Texas. And so Arkansas, who finished last in the West a season ago and didn't win an SEC game the season before, is going to start the season ranked 20th in the country ahead of A&M and Mississippi State in the West, which is okay, whatever. But
I can see
State. See people saying that. That's not the point I'm trying to make, though. But I'm saying that their bowl game did a lot for their perception. The other way is my most underrated team, and that's Oklahoma. They're gonna be way better than 19th, I think.
Ooh, I don't know.
For one, their schedule is, if they beat Tennessee, then there's only two teams left on there that you say, they're definitely going to be underdogs to these two teams. But it's partially because they got mauled by Clemson in their bowl game. They lost three games last year by less than 4 points. TCU, Oklahoma State, they went to overtime with. Kansas State, if they had a kicker, they'd have won that game.
Fifth.
Yeah, but I'm saying this is a team that was better than their record was. They were a pretty good team, but they got murdered in their bowl game. And so I think that's gone people a little bit the other way on Oklahoma. But example, you think Oklahoma's worse than Georgia Tech?
Ooh, I don't know, because I don't know enough about Georgia
Tech. See, Georgia Tech's ahead.
I just think that it just seems like over the past 5 or 6 years, Oklahoma has always been rated higher than where they should be.
Well, and that's partially. Well, and that's,
maybe that's
that goes back to what I'm saying, though, because last year they were ranked so high because they obliterated Bama in the Sugar Bowl. You got to throw the bowl games out. You know, they're not that valuable. Now, maybe if you were in a big game that mattered, if you're in a, you know, the playoff game, those games, you know, your team is focused the whole time, your coaches are focused, all this kind of stuff. But you can't, the minor bowls, anything that's not a major bowl, you got to throw it out the window. It doesn't matter at all.
This is, you know, what's interesting is when you go down the others receiving votes, and it's like, who gave Kentucky a vote to be in the top 25?
Just someone did.
Who gives
Texas got eight votes.
Well, either one person gave them 24th or two people voted last for Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at some of these and you go, where do people think that these guys should
well,
be?
Well, I
know,
mean,
hell, they might end up in the top
North
25.
North Carolina but received votes.
But the perception from what they did last year and what they have back, there's no way you should put those teams in the top 25.
Who else? Utah received votes.
Unless maybe
votes.
You know, these are all coaches, so maybe, you know, they're all voting for their, you know, their conference a little bit more and
I do
things like that.
Ohio, there's 64 voters. Ohio State got 62 first place votes.
Yeah.
TCU and Alabama each got one, but yeah. So those are my most overrated LSU, most underrated Oklahoma. What else you got? Well, yeah, I think you can vote for yourself on this one.
I'm not sure Baylor's four. What else would I change?
Well, look, here's the thing on Baylor. We've talked about this before on the preseason. I talked about this yesterday.
I'm not sure Missouri lost their two defensive ends, and now they've lost the defensive lineman who's in that car accident. Their defensive line is just, and I know they're known for that and building those guys up and making them better players and all, but. You know, you're Justin Matty Mock.
The thing is, there's
no defensive
groups
line.
Of teams here, and we talked about this on the show yesterday with Cease a little bit, that it's because people have faith in their system or their coach. I bet the average person, you know, can't name five Baylor players.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no way. Maybe the quarterback, maybe one or two of those receivers, but that's
especially this time of year.
I didn't mean to say quarterback. I bet most people don't even know the quarterback.
Yeah.
Shocklin would a few people would get, and then maybe a few of the wide receivers. But
yeah, especially this time of year,
and the giant tight end.
But you would hope coaches would know these guys, or at least someone
the
that they
from Game of Thrones. What's that guy's
maybe
name?
Not coaches, but the guys that they count on to vote for them.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the whole thing, though. So that's why some of these are system votes. Like Baylor's a system vote. Baylor is a vote one for their schedule, which is ridiculous. And then two, it's because people think they're just going to bomb the Big 12. That's why people vote. That's why Baylor's in there. It's not because if you line them up against Auburn that anyone actually thinks Baylor is better. It's just that, you know, they have faith in Art Briles' system.
That'd be
their
a good
schedule
game. I'd like
is
to see
bad.
That one, wouldn't you?
I think Auburn would win. Yeah. And but anyway, I have no problem with Baylor.
It'd be a high
being
score.
That high.
You know that.
I did think it was interesting of all people, Jeff Ketchum earlier, who everyone around here, like I said that and probably caused eight wrecks out there, but he talks about a little bit on Twitter that it's interesting the amount of love that Baylor gets despite not doing anything outside of the league. They had that, you know, they haven't played anyone in the regular season, and then in their bowl games, they lost to Michigan State last year. Mm-hmm. They had that absurd game with Washington when they had RG3 that they could have. That game could have, was it 70-63 or whatever?
70-something, yeah.
That game was horrible. Yeah. And then they had, was it UCLA they beat in the something bowl? I don't, no one knows what bowl that was. But that was a not very good UCLA team. So it is interesting the amount of weight that Baylor carries out of conference without having won many out of conference games. But there you go.
Out of conference games against. Decent
against
teams.
Anyone that matters, yeah. You know, those Northwestern states aren't going to beat themselves.
Buffalo
hell of a team. Yeah. But other than that, you know, you go through this, nothing really bothers
you
me.
You see Arizona State, 16.
Well, I saw the vacancy.
A&M's first opponent.
The
so
other thing people have
that?
To remember is that really from, I think if I were voting and I was doing this, the teams that I think have a shot at the national title, Ohio State, TCU, Alabama, Auburn, Baylor, Oregon, then maybe Florida State out of the ACC just because their schedule is so bad too. But after
like Clemson,
after about the first, I don't know, 10 teams or so, you're just throwing names out there. For example, and that's why I say that, Arizona State is 16th, but A&M's going to be favored in that game when they play. So, you know, are they really thought of as better? I don't know because – like I said, they won't be favored to win that one. I'm a little bit different than you. I do like Missouri. I think they're going to be better than they were last year, but because, for different reasons. I think their offense is going to be explosive this year.
Matty Mox.
Yeah, I think they might flip
put it
the
together
other
a little bit more consistently.
Yeah. I think this is
I like him.
Matty Mox year.
Points, but he's kind of like Bo Wallace a little bit last year.
But the entire SEC West in the top 27 with the worst-ranked team being A&M, Kroom. Not a lot of love for the Aggies out there.
Yeah, I would pick A&M over Mississippi State in a second. I would, I don't know. And to think that they're like 10 or 12, 13 places behind these other couple teams that we've put them in. You know, like when we've talked about the West, we've kind of grouped them. You know, and, we're, and the teams that we've grouped them with, they're 13, 14 places behind.
You know who... The team that we've done a good job of building this team up in the rankings, despite they haven't done anything. The off-season cycle, you know, it's the whole, like, sleeper pick to win the East. They were everybody's sleeper. Tennessee hasn't done anything, and they're ranked. Tennessee is in the top 25. Now, we'll find out pretty early. They play Oklahoma, like, week two. But
yeah, and they got killed last year.
They got obliterated by Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I don't think that'll be one of the better non-conference games.
I just 7-6 Tennessee is ranked, and they whatever. I'm getting mad. We need to go to break before I yell at somebody.
I can Tennessee's kind of like the Arkansas. You know, it's like it's
Vogue.
It's the Vogue pick. That, like if you picked them, then you can look up and go, see, I told you, Tennessee, yeah. Arkansas, be good.
At least those teams can't at the – well, they will anyway. We all know that. At the end of the year, can't say, no one believed in us. They'll say that anyway.
Yeah, but they'll say it anyway.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, it's us against the world.
All right. Hit us up, 229-1939. Agree, disagree. Y'all all probably disagree, so hit us up. Let us know. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Roger Sherman, SB Nation, is going to join us to talk about – it's kind of an interesting story, I think, on – the spread of American football, and we'll kind of get into it. I'll let him talk about it. He was there for the International Football Championships in Canton, Ohio this year. We'll get his thoughts on that. And then I want to get y'all's thoughts on, do we think football will ever catch on around the world? 229-1939. That's kind of the question of the day. I want y'all's thoughts. You can say yes, no. You can have a reason. You can qualify it. Whatever you want to send in, let us know. We're going to go to break. We'll come back. We'll get him on the phone and talk about international football, Kroom. Here on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Eight women were arrested yesterday in both cities for prostitution. Arrest reports from the Department of Public Safety indicated it was part of a joint human trafficking investigation with local and federal agencies focusing on women forced to engage in sex for money. The arrests involved women ranging in age from 18 to 33. Three DPS investigators made the arrests after offering up to $300. The arrests were made at one motel in Bryan, three motels in College Station, and one apartment in College Station. Bryan police has announced the woman who died in Tuesday morning's mobile home fire as 32-year-old Susanna Moreno Lott. She was among seven adults and one juvenile who lived in the three-bedroom trailer. The cause of the fire remains unknown. A joint police fire department investigation continues. Part of a large crowd at this week's Bryan City Council meeting were there because of proposed regulations on ride-sharing companies like Uber. While the audience was told the item was pulled from the agenda, there were five speakers during the public comment portion of the meeting. Four speakers, including Elizabeth Inlow, drive for Uber.
Without Uber in this community, it would be a very unsafe place because there are people that are very partial to Uber that say, I don't like taxi services. Their rates are outrageous. They take forever to get to us.
Bryan's proposed regulations treat taxis and ride-sharing companies differently in some ways. For instance, taxi companies are limited to changing what they charge to twice a year. Uber drivers can charge whatever they want, though they can't change the rate once a reservation is made. Background checks and insurance requirements would apply to both. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
It's summertime and you're on the go to camps, sporting events, day trips, or just around town. So make sure you stop in at your neighborhood Rattlers and check out all the icy cold drink specials or grab a snack of Duke's Beef Jerky, all flavors only $5.99 a pack. Or pick up some lunch like a delicious fully loaded hot dog, only 79 cents with your registered Rattlers rewards card. Working out in the sun? Then cool off after work with a 12-pack of beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $10.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do, we need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Texans are teaming up to reduce teen pregnancy.
We're teaming up by starting the conversation.
We're teaming up to educate our community.
We're teaming up to mobilize a coalition.
When it comes to reducing teen pregnancy in our communities,
we're teaming up to make a difference.
OurTownForTeens.org is helping communities all over Texas reduce teen pregnancy by putting the resources you need at your fingertips. OurTownForTeens.org. Team up. We can do this.
Each Wednesday evening, grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
It's a two-person, nine-hole shotgun start scramble tournament with prices for net, gross, and skins. Prices for net, gross, and skins. Make sure to register your team by 3 o'clock day off. And the cost is only $28. For more info or to check out the weekly winners, visit the events tab at zone1150.com. Grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
Visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. All right, Kroom, a few weeks ago we talked about the International Federation of American Football, the IFAF World Championships, were being held in Canton, and the U.S. team was clobbering everybody, and they went on to win the whole thing and all that kind of stuff. But that's not why I wanted to talk about it. Well, we're going to bring on Roger Sherman of SB Nation, who joins us now, and he was there covering this thing. And his story at SBNation.com, it's called Our Game, Their Globe, American Football's Awkward World Championship. Roger, how are we doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing all right. I was reading this, and I think the interesting stuff here is about And I think maybe that's probably what you found the most interesting, because that's what a lot of the story is about. The way that football has spread throughout the world, a lot of us here in the U.S. think that football would get big because of the NFL, that the things they do, the way they run things would be how the game would spread. But it's not. It's way more organic than that from your experience. Is that right?
Well, obviously the first way people across the world come in contact with it is, you know, they'll see an NFL game. They'll see, like, the Super Bowl on TV, or they'll see football in some movie or something. That's easy, you know. It's easy enough to see the game. But what's really fascinating is the way people in other countries decide that, hey, they saw this game on TV, how about actually playing it? And if you think about how much stuff you need to, you know, play football here in America, that's kind of all provided. You know, we are plenty of football fields. You know, high schools have helmets and pads, and, you know, even down to middle school. But in other countries, they kind of have to source that stuff themselves. They have to decide that this is a thing they're passionate about. They're willing to spend their time, effort, money, and making a place where they can play football, this sport that's, you know, hard to pick up, hard to learn. They kind of do that themselves, just because it's something they're passionate about, something they see and something they're interested in. It's hard for them, and they still do it, which is really what fascinated me about talking to these people from, you know, Brazil and Australia and Japan and France that really love America's game.
And there's a lot of variety in the infrastructure. You know, you mentioned that Japan has basically a semi-pro league over there, and Japan, Mexico has sort of a college type league, and all the way down to basically people that are teaching themselves. I think my favorite story in here was the was it the Brazilian quarterback that was learning his grips from YouTube?
Yeah. They said, you know, YouTube is basically our best coach, because, I mean, think about, you know, there's no other sport that really asks you to throw a football the way we do in American football. And, you know, here we're taught it by our dads or, you know, a coach at a school, but down there, no one really knows how to play it. So they're kind of just starting it up themselves. And, yeah, luckily there are online videos teaching you how to throw a football. And that's basically the best way that they could pick it up, is just something someone in the United States put on the internet, and then they go off and try and do it themselves.
Two questions. One is, did you find a lot of these, you know, players that were on these international teams, did they have some sort of American connection, you know, like Army brats, you know, and things like that? And two, do you, some of them, were they ex-rugby players? Were there a lot of, like, ex-rugby or Australian rules football players and things like that?
With regards to American connections, a few, like, the best players on the South Korean team were guys who, you know, went to high school in the United States or something and then went back. But for the most part, no, they're just people who somehow came across this sport, you know, through the internet, through TV, and we're just kind of hooked, kind of the same way we are when we see it, but it's more all around us. With regards to other sports, that's a problem for them, because, you know, say in Australia, they play rugby, they play Australian rules football, and those sports actually pay money, you know, if you get good at it. So if you're pretty good at both of them, you're not going to go into the sport that the highest level of it is amateur. You're going to go into, you know, the sports that actually have a professional level. So for the most part, if you reach this level, they're probably not guys who were going to be successful in other sports, because those other sports will take players who are better or more athletic. These are guys who kind of got hooked on this and got devoted to it. Yeah, they generally get introduced to those other sports first, and then they find this other thing they care about.
One thing that I thought was really fascinating about this is the how the game is spreading in certain places. I mean, you got the sense of, and it almost seems disappointing that this game was in the this thing was in the United States, because it is such an afterthought for us. In fact, you know, in the story, for people that don't know, the American team is made up of essentially mostly guys that aren't good enough to play even semi-pro, not good enough to make it in Canada. They're not good enough to make it in these different kind of leagues. So they're down here. One of the guys you mentioned had been in the Army, was hoping to get some workouts in after this thing with NFL teams. But do you get the sense from talking to the other teams, from being around it a little bit, that the game is spreading in those countries? It's just taking a while?
It's definitely spreading. It's just how much, effort and money goes into growing this game. And that money and effort isn't coming from the NFL. It's funny, like, MLB, spends a lot of money on growing talent in, Latin America, across the world. The NFL doesn't really seem to think that that's an important thing to do. They spend a lot of money on making sure, or they put a lot of effort into making sure, people in foreign countries can watch the NFL on TV, but they aren't really, like, putting in millions of dollars to, make sure people overseas have pads and they can play. So, they're, like you said, it is organic. It is growing. I think the fact that NFL Europe fell apart slowed it down a bit, because that was an actual thing that the NFL was kind of supporting and losing money on, but it kind of made the game closer to people in Europe, and now that's not there, and now they have to generate it on their own. But definitely, the more the internet exists and people can watch the game overseas, the game is being shown on TV in other parts of the world, and that just sparks interest. Definitely, the interest in the sport is outpacing the ability for people to actually play it. More people are interested in the sport that can actually, go down to a field and join a league in other countries. And who knows if those two things will ever catch up.
One of the funnier, it's funny to us in a world that, we're used to international scandal, really. It's not funny in the sense of you would like to see the game continue to grow, but the infighting, the split of the IFAF governing body, and they didn't know who was even really in charge at this thing, I thought was a fascinating part of that. Has there been any news on that front? I mean, basically, in the story, and it's kind of hard to sum up real quick, but the IFAF basically split over the fact that Sweden, who was supposed to host these things, wasn't able to, and there was all sorts of scandal accusations and all kind of stuff like that. Is there any way that they're going to get this thing back together to host another one of these?
It's funny because, FIFA obviously was the primary one, and that's over, people are making millions off of it. With this, it's a much smaller scale, but there's still, infighting amongst, people who may have been, using it to take money. So it's kind of funny. I think it'll get solved. It was really, from my perspective, just kind of a few power-hungry people who, saw this opportunity to, who enjoyed being in positions of power in this organization, and then were kind of voted out of it and were extremely upset about it and tried to make their own little rogue version of it. And I don't see any way that they'll be able to hold that up. I think that this organization will figure things out, and 4 years from now they'll hold another event like this someplace else.
What was the most fascinating team that you got to cover, whether it was the stories or the mix of people, the love for the game, the coaches, whatever it may be? Was there a particular team that you were drawn to throughout this whole thing?
To me, it was definitely Brazil. I mean, when you think about Brazil, you don't think about football, obviously. You think about soccer. They're crazy about it. Football has caught on there. And again, it's a niche thing. Maybe the way rugby is in the United States, probably even smaller. But they, less than 10 years ago, the highest form of football there was just people in Rio de Janeiro going down to the beach and playing 11-on-11 tackle football. No pads, no helmets, just the sand will, you know, cushion their falls. And that was the highest level there. And, you know, the more people got into it, they started, you know, actually ordering up pads, you know, getting organized, you know, maybe playing the game on a soccer field instead of on the beach. And now they have, like, a little league down there. They actually pay a few American players to, like, go teach them how to play. And they actually ended up winning a game at the championships. They beat South Korea 28-0. So they really just loved the game, and they didn't have any guidance or, you know, any infrastructure at all. They just saw that this was something they wanted to do. They did it, and they're going to keep doing it. And it's really interesting to see that fire and that passion from people who you never expect to even know this sport exists.
Is there a, you mentioned a little bit in this story of how much more popular these games were the last time they were played. Is there hope that they can find a place to host these the next time so that it won't be back in the United States? Because you mentioned this tournament is so much of an afterthought, even in Canton, that it doesn't draw many people. But elsewhere, to the players on these teams and to these teams, this is a big tournament.
Yeah. So to Team USA, you know, like you said, it's not guys who currently have NFL jobs. Some of the guys are hoping to go on to NFL or, you know, or CFL jobs. But that's the level it's at. Whereas in other countries, it's guys who this is their big football event. You know, they've looked forward to it years ahead of time. I think they really had an unfortunate deal with Sweden. It seems like there was someone trying to maybe make money off of the event being held in Sweden, and it sort of fell through. There are other countries in Europe that probably would have been happy to host, or maybe this event has been held in Japan and Italy in the past, and Austria. And when it fell through in Sweden in December, it was such short notice, and there was really no place. No other country has the football resources that we have, so it was the easiest thing just to send the game here. And, you know, here it's not even the biggest football thing in Canton. You know, they have the Hall of Fame game and stuff. They have other things, and people didn't even seem to notice it was there. But can you imagine if, you know, football is like a niche sport in your country, but you like it, and all of a sudden hundreds of people from across the globe are coming to play it, like, in your home country. That's an event people care about. When it was held in Austria, they had, you know, 20,000 people at the games, and here in America, it drew less than, you know, a high school game held at the high school stadium they were playing it at. So I think they will get their stuff together, and they will find a country that cares about it 4 years from now.
There we go. We're talking with Roger Sherman of SB Nation. His story, Our Game, Their Globe, American Football's Awkward World Championship. You can find that at SBNation.com. Roger, thanks for being with us, and hopefully we'll get you back on during college football season, maybe.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Kroom?
What do you think about what he just – I just don't see it happening big.
Well,
I think what he said – one thing he did say where he looked up and said – it's kind of like rugby here, but maybe not quite as big. Yeah. And I think that's about where it'll stay.
Let's go to break, and then because I want to come back and talk about that. Will football ever catch on around the world? And you know, kind of why not? We'll kind of break that down when we come back. Hit us up 229-1939. What do y'all think? And we'll be back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Whether at work or play, your trucks and equipment take a beating every day. Make them last with Rhino Lining protective coatings. If you're investing in a new truck or just looking to add life to your existing truck, trailer, RV, and equipment, Rhino Linings is a proven solution. The new Rhino Extreme coating offers superior resistance against chemical, rust, and corrosion, as well as durable impact resistance to withstand those heavy loads. If you want an industrial-strength truck bed liner, go extreme. Get yours today at Texas Custom Outfitters on Highway 6 in Navasota. Call for more info, 936-870-3009.
Coca-Cola Family Packs are back for another season of Texas Rangers Baseball. Bring a family of four out to Globe Life Park and enjoy the perks of one of the best offers available. Get four hot dogs, four Coca-Cola soft drinks, four tickets, plus two Kids Zone wristbands and one souvenir program for $69 in the upper reserve section or $113 in the lower reserve section. Visit TexasRangers.com/specials to buy your Coca-Cola Family Pack. Offer valid for most Sunday through Thursday regular season home games.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Okay, voice of my car, please program the location coordinates for my new job interview.
I cannot comply with that request.
Did you say no?
You don't want to drive that far to work. It makes you cranky.
I don't get cranky.
I recommend AggielandHelpWanted.com.
My car is giving me career advice?
It's free, and uploading your resume is faster and easier than ever. You will find hundreds of great local jobs within easy driving distance.
Okay, fine, I'll do it.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Well, technically, I do the steering.
Ha ha ha. Easy to use and easy to apply. AggielandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
This is Travis with Brazos Valley Buckmasters inviting you to join us for our 16th annual banquet on Friday, August 7th at the Brazos Center in Bryan. Enjoy ribeye dinner, live and silent auctions, a 10-gun raffle, kids games, and more as we raise money to benefit our wounded warriors, first responders, and children with special needs. With your help, we've donated over $250,000 back to this community over the past 15 years. Individual tickets are $50, couple tickets are $70, and kids 16 and under are just $20. Reserve a table online at buckmastersbanquet.com. That's buckmastersbanquet.com.
Summer is here, so it must be Harvest Festival time. Make plans now to join the Messina-Hoff Winery family every weekend in August for the 38th annual Harvest Festival. Enjoy grape picking, traditional grape stomping, wine and food pairings, specialty dinners, and so much more. Messina-Hoff's estate winery is located at 4545 Old Reliance Road in Bryan. That's the 38th annual Harvest Festival at Messina-Hoff Winery and Resort. Get all your Harvest Festival information online at messinahoff.com/harvest.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
Segment about his story on the international football championships, which were held in Canton. And we thought, well, we would ask if football will ever catch on globally. Krim, the biggest thing standing in its way, and this isn't going to be news to anybody, but like Roger said, is the amount of stuff it takes to play football.
Right.
This is the... And it's not an American thing, because obviously baseball is an American sport, and that's taken off just fine everywhere else. But you could play parts of baseball with about four people. You get a couple guys, a stick, something that rolls, and something to tag, and you've got the basics.
And then, well, and you can practice.
Yeah,
like that.
Well, and yeah, you can do all of the baseball things with just two people. You can pitch to one another and all that kind of stuff. You can throw a football back and forth, but that's about all you can do. You know, you can't. And another thing
that's
that
like
I thought,
throwing a frisbee back and forth.
Right. And then another part of this story that I thought was really good, another big thing that stands in the way of football is that, and Roger did a good job in the story of explaining this. In basketball, to some degree, everyone on the court plays offense, plays defense, dribbles, passes, and shoots. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, taller guys play closer to the rim. Guards handle the ball a little bit more. But on a real basic level, everybody does the same thing. And it's the same in soccer, except for the goalie who can use his hands. Everyone uses their feet. They pass. They defend. All that kind of stuff. In football, that's not the case. There's very specific jobs. You block. You're a receiver. You're a running back. You're a quarterback. And learning all the different ins and outs is difficult. You know, any five people against any other five people could play a basketball game. That's not the case in football. You've got to have a lot more people, and then you've got to have people doing different jobs and all this kind of stuff. The other thing that I think is interesting, though, Kroom, and this is what I think the bigger problem is going to be if we're talking on the long arc of football around the world, is that the concussion issue is a problem in the United States so much that we start to wonder, and it's going to be interesting 5-10 years from now, is American participation in football going to fall off a little bit?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to say, you know, it's almost like, you know, there are people here, as big as football is right now, who doubt what it might be like in the future because of what you just said, the concussions. So why are other countries going to start something?
Yeah.
That would just lead to nothing eventually.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. If it at some point peaks here, you know, it's not ever going to get going around the world, I don't think. I think that's the biggest hurdle. I do think, though, it's going to keep going for a while.
I do think the interest around the world in American football and the NFL will keep growing.
Yeah, and in some ways, the interest in it could become, could American football elsewhere ever become like soccer is here?
I don't think so.
And no, but it might could become something like what the Bundesliga is here, where people watch it a little bit on TV, but your average, if you walk out on the street and say, hey, who's your favorite team in the Bundesliga, 95 people out of 100 aren't going to even know anyone in it.